Good afternoon, Aran.
Good afternoon, Brooke.
How did Australian Skeptics Inc. begin?
In early 1980, Dick Smith invited American magician James Randi, who was at that stage already involved with the American skeptical movement, to Australia to participate in a water divining test. And that caught the eye of several other prominent people like Philip Adams and other journalists and a lawyer named Mark Plummer and a few other people in just got them interested in skepticism in Australia. And from that visit by James Randi started Australian Skeptics. The skeptical movement in the US was already, even though it was fairly new, it was probably about 4 or 5 years as you know proper organizations at the time. It was already quite well developed and quite well known, but that was the start in Australia.
And when did you become involved in the organization?
I became involved in 2002. I discovered almost accidentally that Australian Skeptics existed. I had an argument with a mother at my kid's school who was not vaccinating her children. And when I was looking for information about vaccinations, I found Australian Skeptics and I became a member that very day. I became involved within a few weeks, and by the end of that year, I was already a member of the committee.
So what does the group hope to achieve?
Well, we have a very elaborate vision, which we have actually thought about a lot and recently renewed, and it is a society that makes decisions based on evidence, reason, and critical thinking. And I know it sounds a bit grand, but that's what we hope to achieve. And we are aware of the fact that, you know, it's a slow process and we may not achieve it tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. But over time, we expect that more and more people will understand the importance of evidence and of critical thinking.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the $100,000 challenge?
Yeah, so the $100,000 challenge is a prize that will be given to anyone who can prove a pseudoscientific or paranormal claim under test conditions. The way it works is that people can apply to us. They need to then articulate what it is exactly that they can do. And very often people fail at that stage. So people can say, I can read minds. But when we ask them to say, what does that mean? Can you read any thoughts? Can you read the thoughts of any person? Under what conditions can you do it? What exactly is your success rate? And all of these things are things that most applicants fail to describe. So most applicants fail at a very early stage. Once they are able to do that, we develop a protocol together, a test protocol that is scientific in nature, which means that we can actually say with a high degree of certainty whether the test was passed or failed. And the odds that we require are 1 in 1,000,000, which means that if the person is genuine, then they will pass every time. But if they're not genuine or do not have the capabilities that they claim to have, then there's only 1 in 1,000,000 chance that they will pass the test by chance alone.
And if you do encounter someone in everyday conversation making pseudoscientific claims, how do you address this situation?
That's a difficult one because there's a very thin line between being helpful and being seen as a bit of a dick. We really don't want to do that. In most situations, if somebody tells me something that I believe is pseudoscientific or paranormal or something that they do not believe is true, I might ask them some questions, but I will try to avoid trying to convince them that they're wrong because that is not useful, and the psychology of humans also means that I'm very unlikely to succeed. There are occasions when maybe other people are listening, maybe the claims are particularly harmful. For example, if the claims are by anti-vaccine advocates, then I might challenge them for the listening audience, although not necessarily for them, perhaps. Generally, I try to put the truth out there, but trying to convince somebody of something that they believe in is wrong is generally a fool's errand. It's unlikely to succeed.
And Australian Skeptics Inc. have awards that they give out each year. Can you tell us a little bit more about these?
Yeah, so we have several awards. So one of them is Skeptic of the Year. which we give to somebody within the skeptical movement who has been particularly active or has achieved particularly good results over the past year. We have the Fred Sonnet Award for the promotion of science. The Sonnet Award for the promotion of reason, which we call the Fred because it is named after late skeptic Fred Sonnet. That is for somebody outside of the skeptical movement or outside of the skeptical community who has been doing a lot to promote science and reason over the past year. That award carries with it a financial award of $1,000. And we also have the Ben Spoon Award. The Ben Spoon Award is a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Unfortunately, that's the one where it's never difficult to find applicants or good candidate. Perpetrator of the most preposterous piece of pseudoscientific or paranormal piffle. So there's never a shortage of those. There's always somebody performing some quackery or making extraordinary claims that we can give the award to. And nobody's ever claimed the award. If people want to know more about us, they can go to www.skeptics.com.au. Skeptics is spelled with a K. And you don't have to necessarily become members, but sign up for our newsletter. You can do that on our front page. And then you will start to find out about what we do. We also have regular meetups. Every month we have Skeptics in the Pub in the city in Sydney. And we also have meetups in various places around the country. And by signing up to the newsletter, you will find about our activities. That's the best start.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks very much, Brooke.